evening, we're going to study the book of Habakkuk. So if you brought your Bible, let's find this little book. It's about 3 pages long, a little shorter than the others. You will remember that both Joel and Zephaniah started with some signs of the times from their particular point of view. This book starts with a kind of philosophical puzzle. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. When, where, matters nothing. It's a vision that applies to the end time. For the Bible says the things that were written aforetime were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 2. Lord, how long shall I cry or pray, and you not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Have you ever heard of violence? Yeah, have you? Okay. Well, this applies to violence. Last day violence. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Despoiling and violence are before me. And there are those that raise up strife and contention. Notice this. Grievance. Despoiling. We use other words today. Exploitation. Both of them have spoil in the middle of them. Despoiling and exploitation. And violence. And those that raise up strife and contention. Pay the attorneys. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment, justice, never goes forth. Wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Do you need much newspaper evidence to make these statements that have been waiting 2,600 years to apply, valid? Now this is the introduction to what's going to follow. And the Lord answers him. It's a kind of dialogue. He says, I'm going to pray to you, and the Lord answers him. He prays again, and the Lord answers him. The Lord answered. Look among the nations, the heathen, and regard, think, ponder, and wonder marvelously. I'll work a work in your days which you won't believe, so it be told you. Now he's going to give Habakkuk a local illustration. He wonders why there is injustice. He wonders why the wicked compass the righteous, that is, trip them up and confine them, push them. He says, I'm going to do something that you won't believe if you hear about it. I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. Bitter, hasty nation, march through the breadth of the land to possess things that they don't own, dwelling places that are not theirs. Terrible, dreadful, their judgment and their dignity precede them. Horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves, or wolves out for their evening meal. Their horsemen shall spread themselves and their horse and come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to its prey to eat. They shall come for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, gather the captives like sand, scoff at kings. Princes shall be a scorn to them. They shall deride every stronghold, heap up dust and take it. Then, His mind shall change and he shall pass over and offend, imputing his power unto his God. Now this is a prediction of the captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans. He says, I'm going to show you something. They'll come as wolves, they'll come as the flight of eagles, lion with eagle's wings, they will devour, they will be cruel, then his mind will change and he'll offend. Nebuchadnezzar, they call that disease, at least they used to call that disease, lycanthropy. Imagining yourself an animal. He imagined himself a bull out in the paddock eating what he could. The word grass, Cassinius tells us, includes all leafy vegetables. 7 years, mind change. Imputed his power to his own God. Nobody had ever seen that. In fact, the whole story of fourth chapter of Daniel is a miracle. When Nabopolassar, Nebuchadnezzar's dad, died, Nebuchadnezzar was in Palestine, leading the Babylonian army. And he got a swift messenger saying, Dad had died. Now what was he going to do? He wasn't in the capital. He was afraid he was going to be bereft of the kingdom that should have been his. So he raced across the desert and made a record. There are records of this in cuneiform. In fact, Siegfried Horn worked on that story. And there were rivals. See, the kings had married several wives, and they all had children. One happy family. Oh, yeah. I had a student once, came from Nigeria. He was a prince. And we got friends, and I talked to him. His father had four wives, and a piece of land, and a house at each corner, and a wife at each corner, and the father would move in for a week to each wife, and during that week, she had to support him. That was the regulation. And one day, he was about 12, he thought, enough is enough. I'm going to school. So he walked out from the little place he lived into a school. And he talked to the school teacher. He says, I want to go to school. The school teacher says, have you got any tuition? That word was not in his vocabulary. Hadn't heard of it. He had nothing. A pair of shorts and a shirt. And so he talked to this man. And this man was touched by the Spirit of God. And he came in. His name was Joel. He finished school. He finished all the schooling he could get there. And I met him when I was teaching at New World. He got his BA there, all on his own. He'd sell books. Make a contract with the Lord, I'll stay out till I sell them. And then he went to Andrews. Then he says, I must get my doctor's degree. He went back to the University of Abaddon, and he's now teaching. He's got a PhD. And he told me when I talked to him, I had a week of prayer at Andrews, and I talked to him. He says, my problem is now finding a Christian wife. Then he wrote to me when he came back. He says, there was a school teacher looking for a husband, and I was looking for a wife. All the prayers, the Lord answered him. The Lord can do all sorts of wonderful things. And I asked him, I said, is there love among all the siblings? Love, he says, we don't have that word in our language. So every older brother, he had 10 wives, There were 10 rivals. The dad had to say, that son is going to follow me. So what David did, he said, Solomon is going to be the king. Absalom was dead, but he didn't agree. He wanted to kill the dad before that happened. So this is a terrible, terrible, terrible curse. And Nebuchadnezzar took off. And you can go that trip now by bus. At least you could. I don't know what's happening now. But we took it one time from Damascus. You go 300 miles east on a paved road that loosens your wisdom teeth. Then you hit the desert. That's as smooth as Edwards Air Force Base. And you do another 300 miles. And then sometime in the morning, your teeth start rattling again, and you know you've come into civilization. He rode that on racing camels and got there before the rivals had got going and got himself proclaimed king. Then his mind changed. He did wonderful things. So the Lord says to Habakkuk, I'm going to show you something you won't believe. And then he turned to the Lord, said verse 12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord God? We shall not die. Now, with this prediction that he made here in Habakkuk, he made many predictions about Nebuchadnezzar, what they would do. Jeremiah says that when they came into Jerusalem, they're going to cut off your noses. He told Hezekiah that when they come in here, they're going to mutilate all the youth. They're going to be eunuchs in the palace of the king. You can make a whole long list. He says you wouldn't believe these till you see them. So the Lord is using evidence around Habakkuk to get him to see, knows, and understands that when it comes to the real bottom line of what Christianity is all about, living the proper life in relationship to Christ, all these fulfilled prophecies give you evidence to believe, you better get right with this. Because this is just as true and just as important as all these predictions. Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. Mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Now, you know, I mentioned this morning about the need to pick up on the names of God. Notice that they're there. O Yahweh Elohim, my Holy One. O Mighty God. These are all names of God. And they all carry precise connotations. He doesn't mix them up. Spirit, when writes by inspiration, doesn't mix them up. You need to take time as we're reading them fast. Say, from this angle, he's that. From that angle, he's that. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil. Canst not look on iniquity. Why do you look upon them that deal treacherously? Hold your tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. Have you ever wondered that? Why do they do this? How come, I mentioned this yesterday, that Hitler can murder by his personal order 10 million people? That Stalin can murder by his own personal order 30 million? And Mao Zedong 50 million. And get away with it in their lifetime. Great monuments to themselves for a little while. That's what he's wondering. What do you do? Where are you? Aren't you looking at these things? And make men like fishes of the sea or creeping things, no ruler over them, can be stamped down, crushed like a cockroach. Take all of them in your fish hook, in your net, the drag, they that do this rejoice. They sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag. Those in high places, laughing at what they're doing. Their portion is fat. Their meat is plenteous. What do you do this? And then God didn't answer him then. Notice the next. Now, in the writing, there are no chapter divisions. Just go straight on. And he responds, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say to me, what I shall answer when I am argued with. Notice the margin? When I am argued with. Now, what is a tower? Somewhere in the Bible you get an answer to all these. So you need to get a good concordance and you need to get parallel statements. This morning we talk about the vineyard that he did. And we look back to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5 talked about the tower. And that tower, Prophets and Kings, introduction, is the sanctuary, the temple. So his place of meditation for the insoluble conundrums of life, I'll get into the tower. And I will wait. And I will watch to see what he will say to me so I can talk to people that argue with me. And then the Lord responds. The Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth. Write it out. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Now in this English translation, the Hebrew is blown out of the window. There's a whole line here when the Bible uses two words. And those two words are key words. Hold your finger here and turn back a page or two to Daniel chapter 8, where you get the two words again, precisely in this order. And these are the only two places in the Bible that I've been able to find them, just like this. Jesus and Gabriel are having a conversation. Verse 13. And Gabriel asks Jesus, how long? Now in Habakkuk, he says the same thing to him, to Christ, just about precisely. How long, verse 2, shall I cry? Now, how long comes quite often in the Bible. Whenever they come, stop. Think. Now, literally, how long is till when? You'll have to look that up in the Hebrew. It's a little temporal particle, ad. Till. Now, in the book of Daniel, ad is translated 9 different ways. So you can read it through and you can miss them. It's translated unto, until, till, hither, and other words. It's not how long. How long is durative. It's till when. It's punctilia, not linear. And Gabriel asked Jesus, who is called Palmoni. Got that in the margin of Daniel 8:13? Look it up, check it. Anyone got it? Wonderful numberer of secrets, or Palmoni. Palmoni is made up of two words, Pelum and Meni. Many you know. It occurs in the story of the feast of Belshazzar. Many, many. What does it mean? Your kingdom has been numbered. Time is up. Weighed in the balance. Pelem occurs here and there in the Bible. Again, you'll have to look it up in the margin. Samson's mother and father were visited by Jesus. And Samson's dad, Manoah, says, "What's your name?" He says, "Why do you ask my name since it's Pelem?" Margin. Wonder. And then Isaiah uses it. His name shall be called Pelem. Wonderful. And you get it in parts. Gideon talks to Christ and he brings it in there. It's not quite in Pelem, it's another form. And so it's a name of the Lord Jesus Christ who numbers. He's the divine chronologer. 70 weeks are determined, 2,300 Yom Kippurs you've got to pass by. He's the one that numbers. And he tells Belshazzar, "You've been numbered, I've checked it, it's numbered, numbered, and this is the end." So, Gabriel then responds to Christ, "Make this man understand the vision." 2,300 days. And then Gabriel comes in verse 17 and says it's at the time of the end. And in verse 19, at the last end of the indignation, and then at the time appointed the end. Notice that shall be supplied. And the time appointed the end are the two word moed ketz. When will the 2,300 days come? Time of the end, time appointed, moed ketz. What is moed ketz? The moedim are the set feasts of God. Leviticus 23. Main ones, Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. But there are others with them. Wave sheaf, week long, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Trumpets, Day of Atonement. Many of them with a Sabbath each. Now, what end moed is the sanctuary cleansed? There were beginning feasts, Passover, Wave Sheaf, Pentecost, and there were end ones, Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. At which one of the end feasts, the end moedim, is the sanctuary cleansed? Day of Atonement. So he would immediately remember that. That was one of them. The 2,300 days occurs at the time of the end. It occurs when the indignation is finished. It occurs at the end moed when the sanctuary is cleansed. So he gives three clues to buttress the 2,300 Yom Kippur. Now come back to Habakkuk. For the vision is for moed ketz. Now it's translated in this version, King James, for an appointed time at the end. All those words are moed ketz. And because they put it this way, it really obscures the connection with Daniel 8. When will be the vision? Till cleansing of the sanctuary at the end, moedim. Time of the end. It shall speak, not lie. Wait for it. Now that waiting period, again in Daniel 12 this time, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days, which is 1843. That's the mouth, honey, sweet year that leads to 1844, digested, belly, bitter year. So these terms are technical terms that focus your mind on a certain epoch of history. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now please look at that and tell me what it means. Most folk that I have heard say that he that readeth it will run, or he that is running will read it. But what does it say? When you read it, do something. Let him which is in the housetop not go back into the house. Let him flee. Him which is in the field, let him get going. When you see that which was spoken by Daniel the prophet, understand. The book of Daniel has almost 20 understands in it. Gabriel, make this man understand. None understood. I have come to give you understanding. Therefore understand. The wise shall understand. Take a concordance and go and see. Jesus is just repeating what he told 600 years before Daniel to write down. Because Jesus is the one that inspired the prophets. Got a text? Sure, I got a text. Be very silly to say anything without a text. Let's look at 1 Peter 1. And here he's talking about time. And the prophet of the Old Testament that deals with time, per se and in quantity, is Daniel. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. It indicate. 2300 days, 470 years, 1335, 1290, 1260. These deal with time that the Spirit of Christ in Daniel signified, showed by means of signs. Coming back to Habakkuk. Make it plain upon tables. Ellen White says that the 2300 day year chart Miller and Company put up was a fulfillment of making it plain upon tables. That those who read may flee from the wrath to come. Write it down. Make it plain. That he may run that readeth it. Those who read it may run. It's urgent. Speed. The vision is for Moed Ketz. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. Millerites use this period, this verse, between March 1843 right up to October 1844. He'll wait, tarry. Blessed is he that waits and cometh to that year. Now that's the time prophecy. When it comes to pass, you must believe. Now look at the bottom line. Behold his soul which is lifted up, proud, arrogant, self-sufficient, is not upright. But the just shall live by his faith. His faith. Whose faith? The faith of Jesus. It's not your own. It's a gift. Don't ever think you live by your own faith. You got none without Christ. It's not your own. It's a gift. Everything is a gift. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. The just shall live by his faith. You know, we think Romans started the Reformation. Just shall live by faith. Habakkuk. See, Paul was just plagiarizing Habakkuk. That's a buzzword today, so I use it. The same spirit works through them all. You tell Habakkuk, tell Paul, tell everyone else, he should tell us. The just shall live by his faith. Let's go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14 applies to this time. We've come to the first time in history, Revelation 14. That the everlasting gospel is tied to judgment. Verse 6 talks about the everlasting gospel. Verse 7 talks about the judgment. And those who carry it out, verse 12, here's the patience of saints. You're either there to keep the commandments of God. All thy commandments are righteousness. They keep the commandments of God, not the commandments of men. They possess this righteousness, and they have the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14:12 is righteousness by faith. Nothing to do with man. They're God's commandments and Jesus' faith. And those who fit in with that are given the gift of faith, are given the vision of righteousness, and they start the reformation on themselves, one at a time. Sometimes there are lapses of centuries. Till Luther came, he took the same thing. It's applied to Habakkuk. It's applied to everyone in between. And it was Luther's turn. Now it's our turn. Coming back to Habakkuk. The righteous, the just, this is a term that's sometimes translated righteous, live by his faith. Now he gives some more signs. They that have transgressed, verse 5, by wine. Verse 6, woe is he that increaseth that which is not his. Increase that which is not his. Exploitation. Verse 8, spoil many nations. Remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness, that he might set his nest on high. Verse 12. Woe to he that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city with iniquity. History shows many cities in the United States that are built on blood. James 5:1 talks about the wages of the laborers that cry out. Exploitation. Making of billions. Building a city on blood. Building up a great company and making billions of dollars, then cutting off middle management overnight in tears and blood. Then he promises, verse 14, the time will come when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in these circumstances. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink. Make him drunk. May his look upon his nakedness. Filled of shame. Verse 7 talks about violence. Verse 18, what profit is graven images? Those who worship them. I think football, one of the greatest graven images made in this part of the century, has its ritual of worship, has its songs, has everything it wants, performed every place. Other parts of the world, it's football. They're ready to kill. The football. That's their life. Everything. Woe to all these idols that are set up. Verse 20. But. Sometime you ought to take your concordance and look up the buts in the Bible. Very illuminating. I'm going to pull down my barn. Build greater and say to my soul, he got it made. But that night, a voice said, Tonight your soul is required. Whose will all these be? Together with but, pick up the word then. All these things happened, and then came so-and-so. Now, they're not all the same. You've got to look at them carefully. The Lord prepares Israel, for example, several times. And then came Moab. Or then came these people. After he had got them ready. And then only did he light. Sometimes they skewed their life, moved aside, made their own plans. But God says, this is the way I'm going to take you. Now, people can do all these things. The prophet can be horrified by what he sees. And then, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Don't argue. Don't argue. You see all these calamities coming upon the world? Nobody blames them where they came from. Nobody. And Satan has got them so spun around that they talk about the acts of the devil as the acts of God. The Lord is still in his temple. Zephaniah said the same thing. The Lord is in his temple. The best book in the Bible to find out about the temple of the Lord and the throne of God is the Psalms. Why don't you read the Psalms through sometimes? Looking for things. Looking for judgment. My count, about 142 times. Give or take. If you don't believe me, read it and make a list and then correct me. I could have missed. The sanctuary is almost the same time. Over 140 times. Go to Bible and put J for judgment and S for sanctuary and go down and put it in the margin. Or put it in another piece of paper. The throne of God is connected with the temple or the sanctuary of God. It's in the heavens. It's got a holy place. It's got a most holy place. Mentioned there in the Psalms. You hear all this stuff by ignorant people who say there's no apartments in heaven. Them read. Read the Bible. You got one. All it'll take is time, prayer, and thinking. The Lord is in his holy temple. That's associated with his sanctuary, temple, sanctuary, interchangeable. Associated with his mercy seat, where he judges. Now, there are folk who say there's no such thing as the judgment, we use a word for it. Bible uses inquisition. We use the word investigative. If you don't like investigative judgment, take the biblical term and call it the inquisitorial judgment. You may have to learn to spell a new word. That's fine too. All God's judgments are investigations. Every one of them. I tried to list them all. I think I've got 29, give or take. Starting from Adam and Eve and the snake. God knew everything. But he had an inquisition. Where are you? What have you done? Who told you you're naked? Who gave you that fruit? Who told you? Did you do that? Did you eat? Did he need any information? No, he didn't. But you know, every question that God asks in the Bible teaches. Not because he wants information, because he's giving information by those questions. Where are you? Where was Adam? In a galaxy alone without God. Turned his back on God. God was coming to him. What have you done? What have you done? Took a bite out of fruit? No, no. What have you done? You produced Auschwitz. That's what you've done. You produced Bockendale. 900,000 men scrunched into the mud at Bockendale, the First World War. The mud was red. The stench was enormous. What have you done? Eat a piece of fruit? See, Adam had to know. The world had to know. What have you done? Calvary. That's what you've done. You scarred the person of the Son of God for eternity. God's questions are not for information. They're not to give him information. They're to teach us. They're to get us stop and think. The Lord is in his holy temple. He's still the Lord. He's still Yahweh. He still is there. And the sooner mankind stops arguing and talking and starts thinking, the better off everyone will be. The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. And immediately, Habakkuk disobeys. Verse 2. Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. How true. How true. Midst of the years. Like you folk, I've been attached to a few beginning churches in my prehistory. It's easy to begin. You get everyone from the mayor to the turning of the sod. Day one. You get everyone, including the governor, for the dedication. But in the midst of the years, when it's a little damp and you're tired, perhaps you're alone. It's the midst of the years that bring the doldrums. And he said, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now here's a psalm to the second coming. The Lord came from Teman, that's in the east. Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. What does Selah mean? Never occurs at random. Selah means think about it. Like amen, may it be so. Selah is think about it. And whenever it occurs, we ought to pull over on the soft shoulder, switch the engine off, and think. What's he saying here? The Lord will come. Think about it. His glory will cover the heavens. Earth will be full of his praise. His brightness is as the light, and he had horns or beams coming out of his hand. Glory from the scars. Bright beams coming out of his hand. There was the secret of his power. Calvary. All that Calvary connotes made the plan of salvation and the purpose of God triumph. Before him went the plagues, pestilence, burning coals of fire at his feet. He stood and measured the nations. That's a term that is used many times for judge. Sheep and goats. Everlasting mountains were shattered, perpetual hills did bow, his ways are everlasting. The tents of Cushan, Africa, Ethiopia, curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was his anger against the rivers? Was his wrath against the sea? Now hear with a little disturbed heart. When it talks about rivers, it doesn't mean seas. Seas are peoples. Rivers never are. River is a symbol for something else. What is a river a symbol of? Come to me, Jesus says. I'll give you the Spirit. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. People's multitudes? No. What comes out of the Spirit-filled soul? Rivers of living water. What came out of Ezekiel's temple? Ezekiel 47. Remember, he had a vision? Stream came out of the door of the temple. I am the door. It was ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, swim deep. And wherever it went, it brought healing. Now let's look at Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47. Verse 1 is where the vision begins. And then it goes, verse 8, they issue out toward the east, go down to the desert, and go into the sea. The sea to the east of Jerusalem is the Dead Sea. These waters from the sanctuary went down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, its water shall be healed. So there's a river that goes into a sea to heal the sea. So this river of Ezekiel 47 is to go into the nations to heal them. Now if you look up Index or ROM, represent the work our sanitarium should do, our evangelists should do. This is a healing stream of the gospel that goes into the peoples and languages. Verse 8 of Habakkuk 3. A river is a nurturing philosophy of life. Nurturing. Wherever a river flows into the desert, it's bordered by green. It irrigates the fields, keeps the plants growing, fertilizes the field. Egyptians worshipped the Nile, totally dependent on it. Now they've made the Aswan Dam, and they're regretting it every minute. Fiddled around with the arrangement, floods don't come, the irrigation doesn't come, the population is increasing, food supply is decreasing. A river is a healing, nurturing philosophy of life. Both ways. It can destroy. There is a river of Egypt. There is a river of Babylon. There are three rivers in the book of Daniel. I was by the Ulai. I was by the Hiddekel. There are three of them in the book of Daniel. Nurturing philosophy. The silt comes down and nurtures. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was his anger against the rivers? What is the philosophy of life that you have? What is the philosophy of life that the United States has? What is the philosophy of life that German has? Germany or Sweden? What is it that irrigates them, nurtures them, keeps them going? These countries are all different. All different. Think of Japan, think of Korea, think of Taiwan, think of Singapore. What makes Singapore what it is? Cleanest city on the platform, on the planet. Most disciplined city you can find. Follow the rules and it's great. You don't break the rules more than once. They have no drug problem. You're caught with drugs and you're hanged. Very simple. No argument. No dream team. Caught with drugs. Vandalize, get a spanking. all kinds of spankings. Up to 18. They don't do it again. They don't do it. Traffic rules. Four-way stops or green lights. They have a white square in it. If you're caught there and you have to stop, automatic fine. By mail. One of the missionary ladies was caught. She decided to go and appeal. So she went. Judge was there. She told her story. Got there unexpectedly. He listened quietly. He says, "Madam, you wasted my time. The fine is doubled. Go downstairs and pay." Very simple. You didn't do that again. And the fines are substantial. Now, if you don't like it, move to go to Kinabalu. I'm much more relaxed there. What is the philosophy that does this? Sometimes it works out nicely. They had mosquito inspectors. They came to our college. They came to our division office. Very nice. And the guy says there's an area that is damp, that will breed mosquitoes. Here's a warning. I'll come back in a month. Have it drained. They ended the malarial mosquito in Singapore. And then a breed of mosquito came about that is bringing malaria that is not touched by quinine and the other things. They've got to work them out again. Devil never gives up. But there is a philosophy of life that drives everyone. You talk about Boston, you come down to this part, you go to Canada, and you go to California. Slightly different. These are the rivers that he's talking about. What is it that nurtures you, that drives you, that carries you on as a river? Was his wrath against the sea, the peoples, that he rides upon his horses and the chariots of salvation? 14th chapter of Zechariah. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes. Even thy word. The bow is a symbol of the word of God. Going to be made quite naked. Arrows of God are the statements, the promises, and the condemnations. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. Mountains saw, trembled. Water passed by, the deep uttered his voice, lifted up his hands on high. Sun, moon stood still in the habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen anger. Thrust in thy sickle and reap. Threshing time is the harvest time. After the three angels' messages, angel came from the throne of God, from the altar. Put in thy sickle and reap. I love verse 13. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thy Messiah. That's the word there. Thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the wicked, Genesis 3, by describing the foundation unto the neck. Think about it. Neck wags the head. What is it that wagged the head that hurt his heel and would be crushed? What is it that makes him tick? What is it that makes him grow? Pride, self-aggrandizement, trying to get what wasn't his. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. Came as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. On a special day, unannounced, death decree. Thou didst walk through the sea with thy horses, through the heap of great waters. And Habakkuk responds, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled into myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh upon the people, invade them with his hilltop, with his troops. Habakkuk wanted to rest. He didn't want to go through the time of trouble. Neither do I. Molly and I talked many times. We'd like to die before the time of trouble. The Lord let her. Time of trouble such as never was. I don't want to go through that. Habakkuk didn't either. So I'm in good company. He was a prophet, filled with the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, henceforth. The Lord knows some people are timid. They don't like that. He understandeth our frame. He knoweth that we are dust. Sometimes he might give us our request. But if he doesn't, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, I would rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh unto his people, he will invade them with his troops. Now notice his final response. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Fig tree has got a connotation by itself. Fig tree given 3 years, no fruit. Give it one more year, 4 years. If not, cut it down. Axe is laid to the root of the tree. Although the fig tree not blossom, neither the fruit be in the vine, labor of the olive shall fail, field shall yield no meat, flock shall be cut off from the fold, no herd in the stalls. Calamity, poverty, distress, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet dance like a gazelle's. He will make me walk in my high places. Now let me turn you to Zechariah. It explains this nicely. Zechariah 3. Talking about the same time, talking about the same group of people. Investigative judgment, verse 1 of Zechariah 3. Satan the accuser's brethren, right hand to accuse him. Jesus the high priest is there. The Lord says, rebuke thee, O Satan. Then he says, at the end of verse 4, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I'll clothe thee with a change of raiment. Revelation 19. Her was granted that she may be arrayed, fine linen, clean and white. The bridegroom prepares the trousseau for his bride. Clothe thee with a change of raiment. Jesus says, set a fair mitre upon their heads. So they set a fair mitre upon his head. There's a crown and a harp. This is the crown. Clothe them with change of garments. Angel of the Lord stood by. Angel of the Lord is Jesus. He said to Joshua, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you walk in my ways, if you keep my charge, my laws, then you will judge my house. Revelation 20, for 1,000 years, judge angels, and shall also keep my courts. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, house of my Lord, dwell in the tents of iniquity. And I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Exhibit A. Who are these? Where did they come from? Revelation 6. Came out of great tribulation. Therefore, the Lord is my strength, Habakkuk 3. He'll make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me walk upon my high places. To everyone, God has prepared a place. Everyone. I go to prepare a place for you. Does he know the color of curtains we like? Does he know the kind of bed we like to sleep in? Does he put a bowl of fruit of the things that we like? I like to think that our host in that day understands. He's invested in us more than we can imagine. Marked with a cross. That's his investment. Laid aside his divinity.
the independent exercise of certain characteristics of Godhead, took upon himself the form of a servant, wound up on a cross, not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. Habakkuk opens full of questions. Where's the justice system gone? Where's the economic system? It's like exploitation, drunkenness, evil. Look at all these signs. Remember, the Lord is in his holy temple. Don't argue. Sing. So Habakkuk sings. And the theme of his song is a second coming that ends in a separation. Sheep and goats. Scary. He trembles. His lips quiver. Things are going from bad to worse. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What is Jesus doing? We thought about that this morning. I will rejoice over you with singing. Jesus rejoices. Habakkuk says, I'm going to rejoice. Because the Lord is my strength. He faced all that we face. And he survived by remembering that God is always on the throne. And that God is his strength. And the just shall live by his faith. That I must accept as a free gift. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank thee for the views that we get of the problems of life, about the certainty of the goal of faith, about the invincibility of thy power and of thy control at all times. Help us with Joel to allow thy spirit to guide us, to teach us, giving us the early and the latter rain in 1 month to speed up the seasons. Help us, Lord, with Zephaniah to allow our hearts to be searched by thy word and to see through the day of the Lord's horrors that there is still time and to seek meekness and to seek righteousness before the decree brings forth. Help us, Lord, with Habakkuk, when we see these things, to sing. Even though our lips tremble as we are singing and our knees are shaking, yet to believe by the faith that he gives us that the Lord is our strength and our song, a very present help in trouble. Grant us this faith. Grant us this kind of life. We ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.